Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. We are now in season three. Don't be resistant, Abby. Just go with it.
I know.
We are doing marketing and media this season, bringing in the best of the Western industry to bring you photographers, brand icons, influence, like so many different types of people to give you this picture of how the Western industry is showing up to the rest of the world. Today is absolutely no exception. Abby, who are we talking to?
We have a photographer on the line here that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. You can see her work in print. You can see it all over. Her work is iconic in a lot of ways. She's pioneering some new styles, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
And we love her for it. We have Alexandra Ray, who prefers to go by Alex.
Our girl Alex.
How the heck are ya?
Good. How are you guys?
We're so good. We're so excited to talk to you today. And just to kind of kick everything off, why don't you start us off by telling us a little bit about your background, how you got into photography, and where you're from.
I started photography when I was a freshman in high school. Actually, it was when my dad bought my mom a camera for Christmas. Now, he bought my mom a camera for Christmas.
Small details,
and
yeah.
And she never got to use it after that because I kind of stole it from her. So I just kind of started taking pictures of I have two brothers. They're 5 and 6 years younger than me. And so they were perfect for modeling and all that kind of stuff. And I grew up on a farm, so we had lots of options as far as backgrounds and different things like that. So I went through high school doing it. I took a lot of senior photos for, people that I went to school with, and I went to a really tiny school, so I had 19 kids in my graduating class, if that just kind of puts it into perspective for you. and I grew up in a little farming town, in on the Palouse in Washington State, called Roselia. I actually grew up outside of it, but that's where I went to high school. And most of us were together from kindergarten all the way through senior year of high school, and all that. It was kind of like going to school with your siblings when you know the people for that long. So I did that, and then one of my art teachers really pushed me to pursue my photography. He thought he saw potential, which was awesome. And I was actually editor for his yearbook that year. And so I enrolled in a local community college and started the photography program. It was 2 years long. And then I finished that in June of 2016. So I've been... It's been a while, and it's, 2020, as everybody knows.
So, don't
be all.
But then I met my husband when I was in college, when I had just started, and we've been together ever since. So we're going on our 6-year anniversary, actually, on November 2nd. Love so that. We've been together for a while, married for 3, and we have a 1.5-year-old little girl. Her name is Holland. And she is a lot of fun. They're a little chaotic when they're almost 2, but
what do you mean? I've heard so many good things about every child.
Only positive reviews.
Oh yes.
Is that the terrific team?
I think it's the one that it tricks us because they do something and you're like, did you really just do that? And then they do something cute and you're like, okay, it's fine. Like, it'll be okay.
And we'll
then
keep
when they're sleeping is when it really gets you. It's like, oh man, I want another one. Then they wake up and you're like, maybe not.
Who said that?
But my photography has kind of evolved. I mean, as far as growing up on the farm, my dad is a wheat and barley farmer, so I kind of started out with just taking photos of my brothers and then random landscapes and stuff like that around, and then it slowly evolved into more people-based. I really honed in on the people photography part when I was in college, and then I shot my first wedding when I was 16, so, and it was a friend of my dad's. My dad was actually in the wedding, so it was a little nerve-wracking, but I've shot quite a few since then, and a couple years ago, Shaylee with Desperado contacted me and asked me if I wanted to work with her. And I said yes, and it's been history since then, and her and I have worked with each other quite a bit. She's kind of helped get my name out there and help push me to go in the direction that I want to go, and use my roots and the Western industry and all that kind of stuff.
I love that story because it's giving me all sorts of warm fuzzies. Angela and I like to think we went to a smaller high school. Really, we graduated.
And I had Abby in my high school, so.
Womp womp. I'm a treat. the direction I was actually going with that was, you know, we had about 300 people in our class, give or take, but my dad was our high school art teacher.
Oh, man.
And I started taking photography classes with him and just, like, I didn't stick with it for long, which is not my dad's fault, but it's so funny. You can see when somebody's had a lot of experience with photography. We were looking at your work and we're like, wow, that looks like film with double exposures. Mm. And a lot of your techniques are, like, obviously really grounded in some of these more, like, interesting styles. Can you tell us about how that's evolved for you over the years? Like, how did that change when you switched from photographing, like, landscapes to doing portraits, and how did you incorporate the two?
I think when I really started trying for that kind of film look, in college, I actually had to take, it was called Photo 101, and it was black and white film photography. So you go through the entire process, and you shoot the film, you process the film, you print in a dark room, and go through the entire, I don't even know. Depending on how you're processing, if you're just printing on normal photo paper, it's a heck of a lot easier than, like, if people are, like, doing a medium on metal or wood or anything like that. It takes, there's a whole bunch of things that people do. But as far as just the printing goes, it doesn't take nearly as long. But it is a process, and I think that it makes you appreciate what you've done. And I definitely learn to appreciate the fact that we are all digital now.
Yes,
because
yes.
If I had to shoot a wedding on film, I think I would, like, just be stressed to the max. Because
so
not that I'm not stressed in the first place, but I think that would add a total whole other level of stress. But I loved, like, it's not in all of my photos that I do, but I loved the grain feel and that kind of thing. When it's kind of definitely, it looks more like film when you have that grain in there, as opposed to being completely, smooth. It gives you a little bit of texture. And I think in the Western industry, you've got some grit. And I think that that's, I think that that kind of resonates with that, at least. I started doing double exposures. Double exposing film is pretty easy. You just kind of shoot over the roll. You get a little more leeway with shooting double exposures in your digital camera. Sometimes you can pick a photo that you've already shot and do another shot with it. My first time I messed with double exposures was actually with Shaylee as well. But it was freezing cold. It was like 7:30 in the morning, and I had just learned how to do it. And my favorite one that I've ever done was a fence post, and it was covered in this frost, and it just looked like, winter wonderland. And then I exposed with kind of her profile, and it just, like, I don't know, she had this vest on that had pheasant feathers, and it just kind of all went together. Then I kind of kicked it up a notch. I started doing some more double exposures in Photoshop, and I did a picture that Shaylee was holding of a skull from Wanderlust Skulls.
It is sitting right in front of us.
We're staring at it right now.
Yes, that one was a lot of fun. So it was literally when COVID started, and I was kind of bored because I didn't have, any new content. I hadn't been able to shoot. My child was tired of me taking pictures of her. So I was just kind of sitting at my computer trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I just kind of threw them together. Thought it would look cool. And then I posted it. And then it was actually Memorial Day weekend. And I came back into service, and it had gone. gone viral on Real Ranch Weddings, and I was like, wow, this is what it feels like. it was pretty cool. People were sharing it, and friends that I have or family were tagging me in the photos that people were sharing, and I'm like, it's not actually painted on the skull.
Yeah, I think
it was done in Photoshop. Yeah.
It possibly ruined Cassie's life for a hot minute. We got the chance to interview Cassie from Wanderlust Skulls season 1. And yes. She, I believe at that time, had mentioned the mm-hmm. skull and yes. was just like, oh my gosh, so many people thought that I had done this. That. They wanted this for themselves. And they had no idea that this was actually like a photography trick, which is amazing.
Oh yeah. She had hundreds of people messaging us, like, sending me their wedding photos, like, hey, can you do this for me? And I'm like, guys, I could, but it wouldn't be anything that you might want to hang in your house. I mean, somebody else is holding this skull, and I would have to put, the two styles wouldn't necessarily go together and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And we're just like, I'm sorry, we're not doing this. Like, but it was cool. It was cool to see people, like, really enjoying it and enjoying my work and enjoying Cassie's work. I mean, it's crazy when things go viral like that. You're like, wow, that's cool.
Well, and it's so true because in a lot of ways, I think it's probably easy to look at photography as a somewhat limited medium, especially mm-hmm. in the age of the internet where everybody has access to like millions of images all the time. But there are so many things that you could be doing and endless possibilities to be making these really creative images and doing something that no one has done before.
Definitely. And I think the other thing is people get discouraged by the fact that, I mean, even in where I live, kind of in the greater Spokane, Washington area, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of photographers. There's a lot of really good photographers. And I think, personally, you don't come across that many Western photographers. And I just enjoy it so much, and I think that it's a great way to meet cool people. And I've met some of my good friends and some of my most, my best friends doing this. And I think that, it's just, there's a lot of cool stories I could tell you, but I don't think we have enough time.
You'd be surprised.
Well,
but speaking of amazing photographers and, being one of those and supporting each other in a community, how do you go about distinguishing yourself from other people and really developing your voice as a photographer, but at the same time, like, maintaining your artistry and keeping in mind that you're a business, so you have to, like, attract people to you and, resonate with enough people that you're getting clients. So tell us a little bit about, like, setting yourself apart while still appealing to a large amount of people.
For me, a lot of people don't necessarily go as warm with their photos as I do sometimes. Mm. Sometimes I have to like sit back and look at it and think maybe that's a little too warm, maybe it's a little too orange. I mean, everybody goes through that kind of thing, but I think really honing in on a style that really works for you and is, everybody's style is so different, and I mean there's similarities, but if you really sit down and look at side-by-side images of people's work, you can tell through emotion and just the different coloring and the tones that they come through. Once you figure out what works for you and you quit really caring if people like it or not and you really just be true to yourself and you really just create your own art, I think people really attract to that and attract to when people really feel confident about themselves.
Yes.
It's taken a long time to really... and it's ever evolving. Everybody is so different. I changed my mind on how I want to edit a photo probably 5 times. And it's just, it's a little crazy. And sometimes it's easy and I just kind of go through and do what I do in Photoshop and Lightroom and it just kind of flows. And other times it takes a little longer. And every lighting scenario is so much different. So being able to differentiate, if you're in a barn and it's super, super dark, being able to work with any light that you possibly have. I mean, off-camera flash, on-camera flash, just natural light that's coming through. I think knowing your craft and really understanding how to still make a beautiful photo when you have limited access to certain light, I think people really, they like that. Because a lot of people, you never know over here in the Pacific Northwest, what you're going to get for weather. sometimes you have to go inside. Sometimes you have to go outside. But just knowing, I think confidence is really key to standing out to people. And being open, like on social media, on a, you know, on that level, being open with people. If people ask you, I get people sometimes asking for, like, tips or, like, how to start out and that kind of thing. I think really engaging with your audience is a big one, too. And I think that really draws people in as well.
Yeah, because art is vulnerable in all of its forms, right? That's people putting out an extension of themselves and presenting it to the world and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
At the very least,
I don't
hoping.
Even know how many weddings I can count. I can't count on one hand for sure. I mean, I shot quite a few this year, but every time I give sneak peeks or a gallery back, it's like nerve wracking. Like, oh my gosh, I hope they like them. Like, come on, I'm waiting for that text. Like, oh my gosh, these are awesome. Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there racking my brain. I'm kind of a paranoid person in the first place.
Come
on, just text me. Just let me know you like them.
And on top of it all, you're capturing once-in-a-lifetime moments, right? Like,
oh, definitely.
You know, it's not like we get another shot at this wedding that we can...
Nope.
You might get another marriage, but you ain't going to get the shot at that wedding.
Angela's just here to alleviate anybody's stress who is photographing weddings.
Yeah. Just in case we all just forgot, like, it is once-in-a-lifetime, folks.
You cannot mess this up or you will ruin their lives.
But it sounds...
Can you do your first kiss again?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, I missed that. I had a text come in.
Stop right there. But it sounds like, Alex, you're saying that the best way that you've established that confidence is through that practice and maybe the learning curve of trying new approaches. Or like you said, I think that's a really important thing to reiterate, that idea that you're not editing a photo just one time, like you're doing five different versions of that, or you're testing out different colors and maybe frames or cropping it different ways.
And it's so interesting to me that when you look at, if you just Googled like Pacific Northwest or like Washington, Oregon, wherever, you would never see a warm toned photo.
Right.
Ever. I don't think you
it's
would.
It's kind of gloomy here.
Yeah, like in my Midwestern mind, if I think warm, I'm thinking Texas, right? And so it automatically gives like this, Abby makes fun of me because I used to call it sepia because I only saw it in text, but this like sepia toned, like Western Old West type vibe, seeing that with the Pacific Northwest background of like the pines and the mountains and everything that's beautiful out there, or like the photo in front of us now with the llama and Shaylee's face, like it's just downright inspiring.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I guess, I don't know, I kind of draw to that warmth. I was born on the Washington coast, and it's very cold there sometimes, and it rains a lot. I mean, there's a rainforest over there. So,
true.
I did not know that.
That kind of thing, but I moved over to Eastern Washington when I was 3.5, 4 years old. And when I think of my home, I think of rolling hills of wheat fields, and I think... Mm. It's that warmth of summertime.
Mm.
I was also born in August, so right smack in the middle of harvest.
Okay.
And so, you know, my birthday is usually spent in the field. So I mean, out photographing sunsets. And we get some crazy beautiful sunsets over here. And I think I just really love the warmth, the warm tones, that kind of thing. I mean, burnt orange is my favorite color, so it just kind of goes together.
Absolutely. But. So then have you found that having your own really distinct voice and the specific style then brings maybe a certain type of client to you?
Definitely. I think I've actually kind of learned that I'm seeing more, you know, being a Western photographer, I feel like I've seen more people who are in, like, the rodeo world or, you know, have that, you know, they want to live in Texas kind of thing. And, like, they portray that in, like, the clothes that they wear and, you know, their own lifestyles. And I honestly think there's a lot of them that hide around here. When you think of the Pacific Northwest, you think of Seattle or you think of Portland. You don't really think of the eastern side of the states where it's, you know, it's more of that rural area. I mean, there's so many towns surrounding where I grew up that are so small. They're all, I mean, they're maybe a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller than where I grew up. And I feel like I'm just seeing more and more people who I never thought I'd be able to say that I get to photograph, kind of portraying that style through them and, you know, the way of life that they live too. And like, I just did a family photo shoot. They raise cattle, and the day of it was just dumping rain. It was pouring. I mean, typical first fall over here. And I was like, do you want to reschedule? Do you want to wait till it's sunny? That kind of thing. She's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So their cows were soaking wet, and they were in the background of the photos. There was one that we did when they were inside the barn and they were out of focus, and then I did one of them in focus. It's like a picture window of their cows staring at them eating their food outside the barn and that kind of thing. I think being able to show that, you know, that not even just through family photos but wedding photos as well, just showing their way of life through the photographs that I give them is just kind of a good way to get a little bit of a leg up, what I give back and what I put forward for them.
And that's absolutely a gift to be able to let go of any of those preconceived notions or these strong ideas that sometimes we hold on to in terms of what would be a good photo, i.e. like what is a conventional photo, mm-hmm. and then taking those risks and finding a creative workaround in those moments when, yeah, like everything is soaking wet. But you end up with these cool photos that you would have never had otherwise because you're trying to find a way to, as Tim Gunn would say, make it work.
Make it work.
I totally agree. I think that that's, people are shocked sometimes. I can't tell you how many times I get asked, and it's generally people who are older, is it really okay that the sun is behind us? Like, yes, perfect. You'll be surprised, I promise. And I always say you'll be pleasantly surprised, and they're always kind of shocked when I show them. And it's like, I promise, I'm not just gonna make you look terrible.
I know what I'm doing.
My ass on the line. Thank you.
And it, I mean, most of the time it's when I have like bigger families or at weddings. I'm like, yeah, it's fine, guys, I promise.
Influencers, per se, or someone like Shaylee, who has a brand deal, or you're doing just a creative collaboration. Mm-hmm. How do you make that work? Because you're, at that point, you're joining two specific visions together. You have kind of an end goal there, but you're both still trying to maintain your own vision while putting out one joint piece. Mm. How do you do that?
So as far as like working with Shaylee, she's probably the one that I've worked the most with. She will kind of send me some inspiration photos that she's been kind of wanting to do. Most of the brands give her pretty good leeway, I would say. There's been a few that have had like special requests and that kind of thing, and any jewelry or anything like that, we get those up close shots so you can really see the product and really see what they're going for. And then she sends me like what outfit she's doing. We try to find some cool locations. We got to shoot at a local stockyard here. That was a lot of fun. And then a lot of the places that we shoot are fairly close to where we live. She only lives probably 35 minutes from me, so she's closer to Cheney, Washington, and I'm in Harrington, Washington, which is a super tiny town, but there's lots of rural areas, and people are generally willing, if we need to find a new spot, say it's someone's barn that we saw on the side of the road or anything like that, people are usually pretty okay with, you know, letting us shoot there.
I love that.
We do love to shoot with horses, and I think a lot of the brands are totally okay with that. And I know that there's been a couple that have asked to work specifically with her and me. And I'm sure that there's others that want to work with, you know, any of the other amazing photographers that she works with. But we just kind of go through together what we think might look best. And Shaylee's amazing. I mean, she throws all these different looks and all these different poses and all this stuff. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I gotta let my camera slow down for a second.
You're like, Shaylee, stop slaying.
Seriously. But it takes a lot of, you know, education on our end as far as learning what the brand really portrays, you know, just kind of checking out the stuff that they've already posted and that kind of thing. And then, I mean, she does a lot of the work. I'm going to just say that now. She, you know, really kind of hones in what she wants to portray on her page. And 99.9% of the time it works on my own. So it's just kind of, I'd say we mesh pretty well together as far as our ideas and things. And there's things that we've tried that neither of us thought would work, and they turned out really, really cool. So we just kind of trust each other on that end. What was really cool is her and I put on a workshop last October, and we had four girls come learn from us. It was really nerve-wracking. I had people flying in to learn from her and I, and we're just like, okay, how do we do this? How do we look put together? But we had some really cool brands send us some clothing and some accessories and things like that, and we really had so much fun teaching, and the girls were really willing to learn and really kind of take in everything that we said. And I mean, we stayed together the entire weekend, so we got a chance to really talk to each other and learn about each other and kind of gauge where the girls wanted to go as far as if they really wanted to get into the influencer side of things or if they're just looking to kind of model things and not really do like certain brands. But I'd say anybody who wants to do it, just go out and do it. If that's what your heart is saying, get in front of a camera. That's all you have to do is just kind of, and if you're worried about your posing and things like that, I mean, you have a mirror. You can kind of look at yourself and kind of figure out what facial expressions you like and that kind of thing. But I'd say, you know, just the same with photography, getting out there and doing it is what really makes you hone in on being confident and that kind of thing. But the, I've worked with a few other influencers too. Catherine Merck, she is awesome. She is a former Miss Rodeo America from Spokane, and she and I have worked together a few times. I get to work with a new influencer this weekend, new to me. She's been doing some awesome stuff. Her name's Courtney. She is the Mounted Shooter on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, follow right her. On.
Yep, we get to do some fun stuff this Saturday, so that'll be fun. But, yeah, I think just once I started working with Shaylee, I kind of, you know, got a little more confident. We've done quite a few together, so when I started having people ask me if I wanted to work with them, I was, like, ready to go, you know, that kind of thing. And, I think just doing it and getting out there and, you know, learning from all of them, they're all so different and all so amazing. Learning to really be comfortable with every different kind of person is a big part of it, too.
Mm. And we interviewed Shaylee on the last season of Breaking Western, and she had mentioned working with photographers and her, like, she just loves photographers that make her feel really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when you're working on things like boudoir, like young kids, weddings, like high stress situations, whether external or internal pressure, how do you prepare for something like that? Like, what is your philosophy as a photographer when you go into that you're like, okay, this person, I want to capture them in their most beautiful state. Even if they don't necessarily feel beautiful,
right?
All the same, while I'm battling my own, like, imposter syndrome, oh my gosh, am I good enough to be here? Like, are they going to like my stuff? Whatever. Like, what does that look like for you?
I'd say the biggest thing is your mind is going a million miles a minute. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll kind of, if they message me, like, on social media, I'll kind of take a peek at what, you know, what their page is like and kind of what their family's like or what they're like, that kind of thing. And when I get to the shoot, I'll kind of talk to them for a little bit and kind of, you know, gauge, like, what kind of person they are, that kind of thing, how their family runs. Boudoir, I'd say, is definitely a different level of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a guide that I usually send out to them. And I just, a lot of them are, second guess themselves, even right when they get there, when they're getting makeup done, when they're getting hair done. And I think that being able to talk to them and really make them feel comfortable is a big part of it for any photographer. I feel like if you're good at that, then you're going to be fine. If you are good with people, just having a conversation and kind of making them feel like you're an old friend is a big part of it. And I know I gained a lot of patience after I had my daughter, for sure, especially with families and little kids. And, you know, newborns run on their own schedule, for sure. Kids run on their own schedule. It's just kind of, you just kind of have to be willing to just be patient. Because not everybody is, you know, going to be easy. I mean, there are challenges. People think they're not photogenic, and you have to kind of put them in positions where you think that they're going to like how they look in the photo. I know myself, I battle with, every woman battles with, not liking how they look or whatever, you know, our own insecurities. But I just, you know, you kind of have to think about, maybe they would want to have sucked in a little bit, you know,
always
photos that they've been given back, like that kind of thing, just flattering angles and things like that. But, as far as going into it, and there are times where I'm like, okay, what do I do next? I know I like to look up ideas, and sometimes ideas will just pop in, but a lot of times, and I'm not the only person that this happens to, I know, but sometimes you get to a shoot and, you know, you're ready to go, and then you start and you're like, wow, I just lost all my ideas in my head. And I don't know where it went, but there it goes. But being able to have some things that you're good at, some signature poses or things like that that you have in the back of your mind at all times is a good thing to have. But being able to work fast is another one. Mm-hmm. That helps me a lot, especially with little kids. I think people sometimes are surprised because, I mean, when you have little ones, your mind is chaos, your life is chaos. They run around, you know, they don't always do what you want them to do. And then sometimes you get those angel kids and you're like, oh, this is perfect. They're doing everything I asked them to. But being able to capture, like, in-between moments, like the mom hugging, you know, the little one or that kind of thing, and things that they didn't even think about, you know, most people only think about, like, the posed ones. The candid ones are definitely my favorite, and I know they're a lot of people's favorite, and something that I like to kind of capture. So they'll hear my shutter go off, and they're like, really? Did you just really take a picture? What's going on? But I'm like, well, you hired me, so you're probably going to hear it a lot. But I think, again, just doing it, just being out there and learning what works. I know sometimes I have to tell kids there's a monster in my lens just so they'll look at me.
Oh, my gosh.
It's in there.
Amazing.
You gotta look really hard and smile at it.
Oh, my gosh.
Plot twist, it's your own reflection in my lens.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us more about that? Because I'm so curious, what are some of those unexpected moments that you're looking for? Like those unposed moments that you're always keeping your eye out for to snap that? Or two, the importance of like getting the right angle and, you know, clicking that shutter button at just the right moment so that you're catching people like when their eyes are open and they're smiling versus when they're like blinking and taking a breath.
So, usually I have my camera on, it's called high speed continuous mode. You push the button once and it'll shoot, like, it's like a burst on your iPhone, kind of. It'll shoot a whole bunch of photos at the same time. It just catches, like, you know, that second of what just happened, that blink, the taking a breath, the sneeze. I've got some crazy, like, babies puking.
It's like really glamorous moments.
Like, things I'm like, oh, I really wish I didn't capture that, but it's kind of funny. But that kind of thing, really being ready the whole time. Things happen at unexpected moments. Like, you know, if kiddos are upset and they're crying and mom's, comforting them and getting them to feel better, I think that's a tender moment. That's a moment that happens a lot, and it's something that sometimes you don't think is beautiful, but when you see it photographed, you're like, wow, I love that. I know in my own family photos, my daughter wanted to push my husband away the entire time. And Shaylee actually took those for us, and I edited them, but she did awesome. She snapped away running away from us, and we're just kind of laughing at each other and holding hands, and she's in the back, or in the front of us, just running away. But they're actually some of my favorite photos, and you wouldn't, I mean, it's not something that I would normally do, but I definitely used that pose with another family that I shot. I know, like, watching movies, there's certain moments that you would want to capture, like, I don't know, a cuddling scene or something like that. Things that are, you know, genuinely tender moments. And then, you know, sometimes you can't see a child's face if they're crying, but mom and dad are smiling at them if their back is to the camera. And you, I mean, I say this a lot, so it's a good thing that photos don't have sound. if you saw what was going on behind some of them, sometimes it's just crazy. Or as far as like the family shoot, the rain was so loud they could almost not hear me. That kind of thing. I think just being ready all the time to capture something, and it happens really fast. Like kids, you tell them give mommy a kiss, they'll do this fast little peck kiss. You have to be ready to just like completely take 10 pictures at once just to make sure you get it, because they don't want to hold it. So being ready, I think, is the biggest thing. Just being ready at all times, looking for those little moments. I think I learned a lot more as a parent of what those moments might be, even with just couples. So
love that. It makes me think of when you were talking about like timing wise, Abby and I just did a photo shoot. She knows where I'm going with this.
I do.
Abby and I just did a photo shoot for an earring company, and we got on somehow the same schedule of shutter and blink at the same time. And it was on like
for probably 20 frames.
Yes. And it literally, like, both of us were like frustrated. And so we'd be like, okay, now I'm going to blink weirdly timed, or I'm going to click weirdly timed so that it will be finally like back on a rhythm of open eyes and take the picture. And it just wasn't working. And we're like, okay,
we both just stopped for a second, walked away from each other and came back. We're like, all right, let's try this again.
Oh man, it is harder to do it if you're doing it yourself.
I would compare myself to a small child. When you talk about like having to have the right timing and deal with temper tantrums, that's probably a lot of what Abby deals with me.
I would agree. Yeah, that feels accurate. It's really nice to hear you say that out loud,
well,
though,
sweetie. Well,
and it's on the public record. Everyone listening, take note.
Remember, I edit these. I will take that out. It's funny to me to hear you talk about, like, having poses ready, and then thinking about you working with clients like Shaylee, who come to the table with all of these ideas. What is your preference? What do you like? Do you like to have ideas ready, or do you like somebody that's super interactive and, like, has their own kind of vision for what you're doing?
I mean, my job is definitely a heck of a lot easier if they are prepared and if they have done their research and kind of figured out what they want to be and look like in these photos that we're doing. It doesn't bother me if they don't have anything. It kind of gives me an idea to just be creative and do things that I might not have done before and things that they have never done before. It's easier on my end, definitely, if they are prepared, just because, like with Shaylee, she does all these different poses at all different times, and there's certain poses that I love that she does. So we do those quite a bit, and then we always like to do some weird angles and some fun, you know, some fun things that some other people may not be as comfortable with. Knowing each other and knowing how each one of us works is a big part of it. I know I've worked with Catherine a couple times, and we've kind of gotten to that point where we know how each other works and how, like, you know, certain ways that she likes to see herself and that kind of thing. Biggest thing, I think, of what you want these to look like. I definitely, even with just, like, family photos, I'm like, is there, like, a certain background you're thinking, or a photo that resonates with you that really you would like to see portrayed in your own photos, like, that kind of thing. It does help me, because I'm a visual person. It helps me kind of be ready to see that and look for that when we're out doing it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking while you're talking about that with Pinterest, of people that if they're going to come to a photo shoot, they will have maybe a board or even just a single idea off of Pinterest. Talk about that on the other side where you are the person that has photos on Pinterest that people are sharing to the level of viral. What does that look like for you as a business person? Have you dealt with anything difficult as far as like trying to keep your rights to images or use them in a way that works for your business, at the same time balancing like this, promoting yourself and knowing that going viral is obviously going to help you?
I haven't really run into any issues with any of that. I think the biggest thing is having contracts and letting people know, like, this is what you can and cannot do. You really can't go sell it to a magazine and make money off of it. If they give photo credit, that's a big thing. That's word of mouth. That's them telling people, like, hey, this person did this. I know with Pinterest, sometimes, like, my own name can get lost in that. With the photos that I take, some people do this, some people don't. Photos have what's called metadata, and a lot of times embedded into those photos is your name, your phone number, your email, so people know that this belongs to you. This is something that you made. This is, you know, it has the date and that kind of thing. And it's a setting in the programs that we use that you can put on there. But with the copyright thing, I really haven't had any issues. If I'm really worried about it, I will message them and be like, hey, can you, you know, at least give photo credit or give, you know, credit to the person. And a lot of, sometimes, like, brands will accidentally tag me in a photo that I didn't take. I'm like, hey, this isn't mine. Like, letting them know. I mean, with social media, things get lost and things get jumbled all the time. With the promotion part, I mean, you know, there's people, I'm in a group on Facebook where it's like a Western marketplace kind of thing, and people will post like ideas like, hey, I'm looking for someone who can do this, or I'm looking for someone who can make this purse, or that kind of thing. I saw quite a few times, like, my photo that did go viral, and my friends were really good about, like, I know the photographer, like, if you have questions, you can ask her. I think word of mouth is the biggest thing that I've seen work really well for myself, as far as the promotion part of it.
Yeah, and that's so true. Tip. That community over competition is so important. I'm wondering if you could tell us or our listeners, maybe who are just starting out in photography or looking to kind of start their own photography business or take it on a little more seriously, what's the best advice you could give them in terms of coming up with that contract when they're working with especially influencers or with individuals who will be widely like sharing business. Their images online?
If you're really, I use a software called HoneyBook, and it's all online, but it keeps track of all my contracts and all that kind of stuff, especially for weddings and things like that. Just knowing like what lingo you can use in it. And I know some photographers sell like contract templates, talking with a lawyer and kind of seeing what, you know, is legal and what is not is a big thing. And just kind of keeping it straight and, you know, and they're ever changing. I mean, sometimes you have to change like the amount of time that you are going to have to take to give these photos back. Things as far as like, if you have a second shooter, like changing like what they can and cannot post, you know, that kind of thing. I think just, you know, education and really understanding what is okay and what is not is a big part of that.
And people get so scared of that when you say lawyer. They're like, oh my God, we're going to court. No, these people are here to help you. Like, yes, and that's why I love what we're doing here too, is like sharing advice from people that are doing this for a living on a big scale and being able to learn from literally the best of the best.
The best in the biz.
It's so exciting. Alex, our girl Alex, Alexandra Ray, photography. Can you tell us where to find you online?
So on Instagram, I am at Alexandra Ray Photo. And on Facebook, I am Alexandra Ray Photo. And all of my contact information is on my Facebook and my Instagram. My website is alexandrarayphoto.com. And yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me.
We love that. Consistency Amazing. And branding, nailed it. And that's yes. Alexandra Ray, R-A-E. Photo. So if you're not following her already, everyone,
get at it.
Please go check her out because I mean her work is amazing.
It's beautiful.
And we love to support.
Yes.
So give her a follow, yes. Give her a like, and we are here to tell you that sliding into people's DMs
with she responds, you guys, she responds.
It works. So
if she talked to us, she'll talk to you.
I guarantee.
And it says on her website to ask about travel rates. Even if you're not from the Pacific Northwest, you never know where everybody's gonna be. So if you love her photography, if it speaks to you, if you want photos taken, reach out. It's really not that expensive to get somebody to travel to you and compensate them for their time and get amazing, incredible work. So we're excited to share all of what we just talked about with you all today. And we hope to catch you in the next episode of the Breaking Western podcast. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Guys.
And we look forward to getting pictures with you. I'm just going to say it right now.
We're gonna
I think we should do it.
Yeah, done.
Let's do it. I'm totally game for that.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, everybody, this has been another episode of the Breaking Western podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week for another episode with marketing and media.
Pew, 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 pew.